Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. In the house, virtually at least, is our friend and go-to guy on matters involving, well, so many issues concerning the law and specifically immigration. He is Hans von Spakovsky. He is these days the senior legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. He has been in government in a number of capacities, including as a member of the Federal Election Commission. These days, he is serving on President Trump's Election Integrity Commission, trying to understand and help the rest of us get clarity about the extent to which there is electoral fraud in this country and whether it is affecting elections. He is the author of, among other things, two books, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk with John Fund, and Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. Welcome back, Hans. It's so good to have you.
Frank, it's good to talk to you again.
Much to cover in a little bit of time, so let me be quick about it. I was just talking with Rowan Scarborough about some reporting that he's done on a report out of the House Speaker's office in New Hampshire, suggesting that there has indeed been not only voter fraud in that state, but very consequential voter fraud at that. What light can you shed on that, if you would, please?
Well, what happened was New Hampshire has same-day registration. In other words, you can show up on election day, register to vote, and vote. And apparently, in the November election, when Hillary Clinton only won the state by 3,000 votes, more than 6,000 people showed up in New Hampshire using out-of-state driver's licenses to register to vote. So the Speaker of the House asked the state to tell him, of those individuals, how many of them have now gotten New Hampshire driver's licenses? Because there's a law in New Hampshire, you know, once you establish residency there within 60 days, you've got to switch to a New Hampshire driver's license. Well, it turns out only about 15%, only about 1,000 people out of the over 6,000 actually got a New Hampshire driver's license. Of the, those remaining, only about 3% of them actually also have a car registered in New Hampshire. So we have the potential here of, 5,000 individuals who may have come up, particularly from Massachusetts, just to register for the day so they could vote. How many of them also voted in Massachusetts? Well, we don't know that yet, but there's a potential here that, in essence, fraud decided the state and also the Senate, the U.S. Senate race, which was very close.
For all these reasons, there has been an effort in a number of states, and you have been one of the champions of this cause, to have real voter IDs and other necessary protections against voter fraud. The state of Texas is one of those places. It has recently had an effort made to strip out its voter ID statutes that has now, I guess, been countermanded. Give us the latest on that, if you would, Hans von Spakovsky.
Yeah, that case has a long, complex procedural history. But in essence, about 2 weeks ago, a federal district court judge down in Texas, an Obama appointee, for the fifth time, if you can believe that, tossed out Texas's latest amended version of its ID law. Texas immediately appealed to the Fifth Circuit. The Court of Appeals issued a stay. That means they in essence reversed what the lower court had done while the case is pending in the appeals court. What that means is that the voter ID law is back in place and will be effective in the state elections that Texas is having in November.
Interesting. There's another example of judicial interference in Texas. Tell me about, Hans, this judge in San Antonio who is struck down the Sanctuary Cities bill that was adopted, I believe, earlier this year by the state legislature.
Yeah, the Texas legislature wanted to stop sanctuary cities in Texas. There are a number of them, like Austin. And so they passed a bill that, in essence, said any town or county that puts in sanctuary policies is going to have to pay civil penalties for doing that, and law enforcement officials who engage in that kind of behavior and, for example, refuse to turn over criminal illegal aliens to immigration authorities, the Attorney General of Texas can actually go to court and have that sheriff removed from office. A federal district court judge enjoined or stopped provisions of this law from going in place. It's frankly a bizarre opinion. It's another one of these activist judges making all kinds of claims that just really have no basis in the law. So it's been temporarily enjoined, but again, Texas is also appealing that decision, and hopefully it'll get overturned in the higher courts.
Indeed. But again, in all of these cases, it really speaks to the enforcement of the law, doesn't it? And the necessity of enforcing the law, whether it's with respect to voting, you know, integrity or immigration or the like. Speaking of immigration, ask you for your opinion. Hans von Spakovsky, among other things, you served in senior positions in the Justice Department as well. What did you make of the president's decision on this deferred action on childhood arrivals, DACA?
Well, he did the right thing. You know, all these critics have been talking about whether DACA was a good policy or a bad policy, but that's really irrelevant to the situation. Why? Well, because when Barack Obama put this program in 2012, which in essence provided amnesty and access to government benefits to this particular group of illegal aliens, he was doing so without any authority to do it. He doesn't have the constitutional power to basically provide amnesty for illegal aliens. Only Congress can do that. And so President Trump is, you know, he says he's actually doing a 6-month wind down of this and said, look, if Congress thinks this is a good idea, it's up to them to do it. And he's absolutely right about that. Now, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think Congress should do it. But the president acted appropriately because this is a legislative issue. It should be decided in the halls of Congress, not the White House.
I tend to agree with that. But I do wonder about his subsequent tweet to the effect that he would revisit the whole business if Congress did not act within the 6 months. Did you read that as trying to establish a constitutional power that he doesn't have and that he actually decried when Obama exercised?
Yeah, I guess you could read it that way. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I think right now he's acted in the correct constitutional manner, in a manner guaranteed to try to bring back the rule of law, which is so important. And hopefully, if Congress fails to act in 6 months, he won't take any action to try to reinstate them.
Well, let's hope so. Let me ask you about one other piece of this, Hans von Spakovsky. You have written about a comment that Attorney General Jeff Sessions made in the course of presenting the president's decision on DACA, in which he used the term illegal alien. And Andrea Mitchell of NBC, notably, I believe, on MSNBC, the full-time anti-Trump channel, took strong exception to that term. You say, no, it's actually legally correct. What is it?
Yeah, Andrea Mitchell shouldn't try to play a lawyer on TV because she said that what he said was offensive and that the use of that term was not correct. Well, in fact, she's wrong. I can come up with a string of citations to U.S. Supreme Court cases involving immigration issues where the justices of the Supreme Court constantly and repeatedly use the term illegal aliens. That is the correct legal term, even though these days it's the politically incorrect term to use, as Andrea Mitchell seems to think.
I think clarity, specifically on the point that it is illegal, is especially important. You get that, needless to say. Hans von Spakovsky, thank you for helping the rest of us do so as well. We appreciate the work you do at the Heritage Foundation tremendously and wish you the best of luck, you and your colleagues, on the President's Commission on Election Integrity. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again next week, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.